This is an audio of the latest issue, Who Can Know It? By Dean Gocher. If you want to have the exact quotes, because during the presentation I insert information in quotations, so a lot of what I'm sharing verbally is not in the original quote, since I'm just trying to make it easier to understand what the author is saying, you need to get a hold of the manuscript. And it's on my website, authorityresearch.com, under the issues link, entitled Who Can Know It? Authorityresearch.com. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Who Can Know It? By Dean Gocher. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You cannot see your heart as being wicked, desperately wicked, because your lust for pleasure, what can I get out of this situation and or person or people for myself, is standing in the way, justifying the hate. You cannot see your hate as hate. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, to approach pleasure and avoid pain, which includes the pain, the mental pain, which comes with missing out on pleasure, making pleasure the drive of life and its augmentation the purpose, with man doing what he feels like doing instead of doing what he is told, making doing right and not wrong subject to his flesh, to the world that stimulates it, and anyone manipulating it, instead of subject to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, making doing his will instead of doing the Father's will the objective of life. He cannot see his heart as being wicked because his lust for pleasure is standing in the way, justifying the hate. Left to himself without restraint, as a disobedient child, he has the attitude of, you can't tell me what I can or cannot do. I can do what I want when I want. We come into this world with that attitude, demanding everyone else take care of us. This makes us vulnerable to seduction, deception, and manipulation. Whoever a person perceives as helping him actualize his lusts, his self-interests, he tends to listen to and follow. Supporting, protecting, defending, praising, worshiping, and even willingly dying for him, resulting in him owning him. As long as he is getting or thinking that he is getting or going to get what he wants, what he is lusting after, he cannot see where they are taking him. That is, he cannot see the end result. It is his lust for pleasure that blinds him to where he is going. Without being told, he cannot know. Knowing by sense experience blinds him to the price he will pay in the end, blinds him to the outcome. Knowing by being told warns him of it. A seducer, deceiver, and manipulator, a facilitator of change, will not tell him of the end result, that is, tell him of his using him, casting him aside when he no longer brings him pleasure, or someone else brings him more pleasure, or when he gets in his way, doing to him what he did to the Father for getting in his way, for listening to the facilitator of change instead. The Father, on the other hand, will tell him up front the cost of doing what he wants when he wants, in order for him to do right and not wrong for his soul's sake. Faith is required of the person who does what he is told. No faith is required of him when he does what comes naturally. Faith requires enduring and suffering, which includes doing without. The same amount of faith that was required of two children in the Garden of Eden is required of the person who does what he is told. The same amount of faith that is required was required of two children in the Garden in Eden is the same amount of faith required of you today. No one can have faith for you. You either have faith or you do not. That is, either you do what you're told or you do what you want. You are the only one who can decide. When education, for example, became subject to the student's effective domain, to their sense experience, they will do what they want, when they want. That is, they will do wrong without having a guilty conscience. When it is subject to the student's doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that is, from being told, when they do wrong, they will repent and do what is right, having a guilty conscience for doing wrong. At least that is the desired outcome. Which method of education, curriculum, or political system used in the classroom will determine the political system of the future. There is nothing in the creation that can change man's heart. Only an act of God himself can do that. When man refuses to be told, he will reject it. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Proverbs 15:32. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Our body produces a chemical called dopamine. It is emancipated or liberated into a small gap between nerves called a synaptic gap. Dopamine is associated with the sensation of pleasure. All of our nervous systems, touch, taste, sight, smell, and sound, are associated with it. When we touch something, for example, that is pleasurable, a nerve dedicated to pleasure is stimulated. On sending that information to the brain by electrical impulse, dopamine is emancipated into the synaptic gap between the first nerve and the next, resulting in the next nerve's receptor being stimulated to continuing sending that information on to the brain, that something in the environment is pleasurable, when then special nerves called dendrites emancipate dopamine in the brain, making us aware that something in the environment is pleasurable. It is then we look into the environment to discover what it is that stimulated dopamine. Upon finding it, we then move in the direction of the item in order to gain control over it, all in the hope of it continuing to stimulate more dopamine in us. When it no longer stimulates dopamine, or something else does, or it gets in our way, we cast it aside, doing to it what we did to the Father for getting in our way. The same being true for someone else, casting us aside when we no longer stimulate dopamine in them or get in its way. The love of the Father is toward you. The lust of the flesh is toward dopamine. The Father will chasten you in order to get you off the drug of dopamine, in order for you to do right and not wrong according to what you've been told, for your soul's sake, while those of and for the world will justify your lusting after dopamine in order to own you, in order to use you as natural resource for their own pleasure, casting you aside when you no longer serve their purpose, that is, when you no longer bring them pleasure, that is, stimulate dopamine, or you get in their way. John chapter 2, verse 43. For they love the praises of men more than the praise of God. God created us with dopamine, that we would enjoy his creation, not that we would worship it instead of him. It is when we are told we cannot do something that stimulates dopamine, or told to do something that stimulates pain, which in our mind results in us missing out on dopamine, and we do it, or we think about doing it, that is called sin, where we either do what we're told and miss out on dopamine, or disobey in order to enjoy it. The child is not in love with a toy. He is in love with the dopamine the toy stimulates. Just thinking upon it stimulates dopamine, called the imagination of the heart. The lust of the flesh is our natural propensity to lust after pleasure, that is, after dopamine. There are other chemicals our body naturally produces that we lust after, but dopamine is the big one, doing what comes natural to us instead of doing what we are told. The lust of the flesh is our looking into the environment to find out what it is that stimulates dopamine, or our imagining it, focusing up on it, making it the purpose of life instead of doing what we are told. The pride of life is our controlling of the environment, that is, the object, the person, or the people that stimulate dopamine, in order to experience dopamine the rest of our life, which includes the praises of men. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Matthew 24:38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. It is not that dopamine is bad in and of itself. We do fix up our room or our property, have pictures of our loved ones in order to experience it. It is when it becomes more important to us than doing what we are told. It becomes a choice. All habitual drugs are associated with dopamine, some imitating it, others stimulating it, and others preventing its reuptake. The problem with dopamine, which our mind lusts after, is it is temporary. It is there in the synaptic gap for just a moment in time, requiring something imagined or real to stimulate it again. That is why the drug addict is so quickly intoxicated with it, addicted to it, and possessed by it, doing whatever it takes to experience it again. Living for the eternal present blinds him to where he will spend eternity when he dies, his flesh and world that stimulates dopamine being more important to him than his soul. While the Father tells us what to do for our soul's sake, doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, being held accountable when we do wrong, those of and for the world use our natural inclination to lust after dopamine that the world stimulates, called stimulus response, so they can use us for their own pleasure. It is here we choose between faith and sight, spirit and flesh, doing the Father's will or our own will, doing what we are told or doing what we want. Without the Father, all we have is stimulus response, that is, that which is of the flesh, that which is of the world, lusting after pleasure, that is dopamine, hating restraint, dying in our sins. The soul which is eternal is of the Father. The flesh which is of the world passes away. While the earthly father is subject to dopamine, using his God-given office to please himself instead of doing God's will, it is not the office that is at fault, as those of and for the world espouse. It is his use of it to please himself, using and abusing those under his authority, or missing in action or AWOL, in his lusting after dopamine instead of doing what he's told. Not as man tells him, but God. Those of and for the world falsely generalize that all fathers are Hitler, when the truth is Hitler destroyed the father's authority in the home, as all acts of socialism do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And the world passes away in the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Proverbs 16, chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When it comes to behavior, when you exclude the Father, this is the key to understanding the dialectic process in the so-called New World Order. You cannot see it or know it until somebody points it out. All you have is your carnal nature, your lust for pleasure and a hatred towards restraint, from which to establish right and wrong behavior. You're not being told that lust is sin makes lust a need to be satisfied, resulting in you justifying yourself, your lusts, thus justifying your hatred towards restraint, toward anyone getting in the way or threatening to take away that which stimulates dopamine. Without being told, you will not know. Without being held accountable, that is, without fear of judgment, condemnation, being cast out, thus having a guilty conscience for doing wrong, you will not listen. When education, by federal mandate, removed the father's authority, that is, the fear of God, from the classroom in the 50s, which will be covered further down in this issue, replacing the father with the student's lust for pleasure, that is, their lust for dopamine, the nation was changed. Once on the drug, it is difficult, if not impossible, to get them off. Our framers did not get rid of the king, that is, the father's authority, but placed it in the home with a Bill of Rights, with the father raising up his children to know right from wrong, even if he was wrong, from being told, creating a guilty conscience in the next generation of citizens when and if they did wrong. By education coming between the father and his children, following after the same pattern or method that was put into practice in the Garden of Eden, where the children were liberated from the father's authority, from then on, addicted to pleasure, following after the lawless one, the master facilitator of change. This is what Immanuel Kant meant by lawfulness without law, where the law of the flesh, that is lust for dopamine, replaced the father's authority, that is the law of God. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Judgment. Leave the father's authority out of the classroom and the world is changed. You will not see it. You cannot know it without being told. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of the father, and attend to knowing understanding. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt know be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Knowledge of the Father comes by being told. Without being told, we do not know the Father. We can only know of ourselves and the lust for pleasure, our lust for dopamine, and the world that stimulates it. Wilford Bien, who is director of Tavistock, a major change agent organization out of England, quote, prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. And he printed the word knows in caps. Wilford Bien, A Memoir of the Future. The empty space is you talking to yourself in the moment, with dialogue being used to justify yourself instead of discussion, where the father has the final say. The change agent's agenda is to prevent discussion, that is, to prevent the father from having the final say, or any say at all. George Lukacs, quote, the central problem is to change reality. Reality, with its obedience to laws. George Lukacs, History and Class Consciousness, What is Orthodox Marxism? When it comes to behavior, when you start with a child's feelings and thoughts of the moment, that is, the world that is stimulating it, instead of with what the father says, behavior becomes subject to the child's carnal nature, that is, subjective, justifying the child's rejection of the father's authority, that is, that which is objective. It is a subtle change, leaving out what the father says when it comes to behavior, but it has major ramifications. It is what happened in the Garden of Eden, Bloom's taxonomies, by which all educators are certified and schools accredited today, Lawrence Kohlberg's dilemma questions, Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs, and all such material are established upon the child's carnal nature, rejecting the father's authority when it comes to behavior. You cannot see it unless someone points it out. You're leaving the father's authority out. Regarding your behavior, your lust for pleasure, for your flesh, blinds you to your need for the father, for your soul's sake. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you use dialogue, that is how you feel and what you think, that is what you like and what you do not like when it comes to behavior. Now, we've all taken that spectrum test from I hate, I do not like, I have no opinion, I like, and I love. It is what marketing is all about these days, called feedback loops. You leave God out, rejecting God and His Word having the final say. The hallmark of Marxism is leaving the Father out. That is, rejecting the Father's authority when it comes to behavior, making your self-interest the focus of life, making lust for dopamine the drive of life, and its augmentation the purpose. When it comes to defining and establishing behavior, when you use dialogue, where you have the final say, instead of discussion, where the Father has the final say, you make behavior subject to your carnal desires instead of subject to what the Father says. You cannot see it without somebody pointing it out. The following sounds right until someone tells you what is being left out. The Father, that is what the Father says. Dialogue, when it comes to behavior, deals with the flesh, with the here and now, with you having the final say. Discussion, on the other hand, with your soul, with the here and now and there and then, with the Father having the final say. Douglas McGregor. Point one, all human behavior is directed toward the satisfaction of needs. Point two, the individual will change his established way of behaving for one of two reasons, to gain increased need satisfaction or to avoid decreased need satisfaction. And point three, augmentation in the possibility of needs satisfaction. Douglas McGregor is quoted in Kenneth Benet, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. What's left out? The Father. You don't notice it unless somebody tells you. Karl Marx, quote, Science is only genuine science when it proceeds from sense experience, in the two forms of sense perception and sensuous need, that is, only when it proceeds from nature. Karl Marx, MEGA I/3. Karl Marx, rejecting the Father's authority, and thus rejecting lust as being a sin, simply redefined the lust of the flesh as sensuous need, the lust of the eyes as sense perception, and the pride of life as sense experience, making only that which is of the world, or only that which is proceeds from nature, all there is, thus justifying his propensity to lust after pleasure and hate restraint. Sin and lust simply being human nature. Carl Rogers. Experience is for me the highest authority. Neither the Bible nor the prophets, neither the revelations of God can take precedence over my own direct experience. Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, A Therapist's View of Psychotherapy. Make behavior subject to science, that is, subject to stimulus response. When you make the mind subject to the body, known as psychomotor, you make behavior subject to the world, rejecting the Father's authority, that is, rejecting being told what is right and what is wrong behavior. You cannot have one or the other. Excuse me, you can only have one or the other. You cannot have both. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Romans chapter 7, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 to 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. For the Marxist, having rejected the Father's authority, the only way to negate the Heavenly Father's authority is to negate the earthly Father's authority, that is, destroy the traditional middle-class family where the Father's authority is honored. Karl Marx, quote, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the Holy Family, the former must then itself be destroyed in theory and in practice. Karl Marx, Fourth Thesis on Feuerbach. For man to sin, that is, lust without having a guilty conscience, the Father's authority must be negated, that is, no longer considered, in the person's thoughts, directly affecting his actions. It is through the use of dialogue, I feel and I think, when it comes to defining and establishing behavior, which does not recognize the Father's authority, that a person's paradigm, that is, his way of feeling, thinking, and acting toward his self, others, the world, and authority, is changed. You cannot see it happening to you. Your change in paradigm because you're getting what you want, what the Father's authority got in the way of. Carl Rogers, quote, prior to therapy, the person is prone to ask himself, what would my parents want me to do? During the process of therapy, the individual comes to ask himself, what does it mean to me? While the father makes doing right and not wrong according to what he has been or what he is told, the focus of life, the facilitator of change makes the satisfaction of needs, that is, the person's lust for pleasure, the focus of life. Thus, he is able to gain control of the person by offering to help him and actualize his lust, being then able to use him to satisfy his own needs, that is, his own lust. This is why those oven for the world, when it comes to behavior, focus upon dialogue, where feelings, that is, where lust for pleasure controls a person's thoughts, instead of upon discussion, where what the father says, doing right and not wrong according to what you've been told, controls a person's thoughts. The facilitator of change cannot control the people in order to use them for his natural resource, called human resource, to satisfy his own needs, to satisfy his own lusts, as long as the people are doing what the Father says. Not until the facilitator of change get the people to focus upon their own needs, their lust, can he own them, with them from then on following after, serving, protecting, defending, praising, worshiping, and even willingly dying for him, for justifying their lusts, that is, their needs, instead of doing what the Father says, that is, doing the Father's will. The facilitator of change, perceiving himself as being the personification of the people who, like him, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment the world stimulates, hating restraint, sees it as his duty to justify the people's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify his natural inclination to lust after pleasure. When you question the facilitator of change's actions, he will respond with, it's not just about you, really meaning, it's all about me, so I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience, with your affirmation. If you refuse to affirm me, that is my lust, or get in my way, the people will remove, that is, negate you, since having justified their lust, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for my good, that is, for the people's good. This is the true meaning of site-based management. All the facilitator of change has to do in a positive environment, That is, in an environment which will not judge, condemn, or cast you out for lusting after pleasure or for doing wrong, is ask you how you feel and what you think regarding the commands, rules, facts, and truth you've been taught that get in the way of your carnal desires, especially when it comes to behavior, and the facilitator of change owns you. This applies to all who participate in the facilitated dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority. It is not what is, that is, what the Father says that controls your flesh, but how you feel, that is, what seems to be. Carl Rogers, the words seem to are significant. It is the perception which functions in guiding behavior. Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, A Therapist's View of Psychotherapy. A federal grant, quote, during the period of information, and I add, that is, during the period where you're able to think and do what you want, that is, how you feel without fear of being judged, condemned, or cast out, quote, an environment is invisible. I add, that is, you cannot see the change that is taking place. Quote, the present is always invisible because the whole field of attention is so saturated with it. It becomes visible only when it has been superseded by a new environment, unquote. Federal Education Grant, December 1969, entitled Behavior Science and Teacher Education Program, commonly referred to as BSTEP. The book 1984 was written in response to this federal grant, the benchmark of all federal grants. What seems so benign at first can now have dire consequence. It simply makes federal money subject to the lusts of the people, thus subject to those offering to help them actualize their lusts, no longer subject to the restraints of the Constitution, to the Bill of Rights, shifting communication from discussion where what the Father says, or in other words, the Father has the final say, to dialogue where the people's feelings of the moment, controlled by their perception of the immediate situation, have the final say, with those offering grants taking ownership of the people. This is the military establishment President Eisenhower warned us about, now being applied to all walks of life, making the people, that is, the people's money, subject to the grant writers and the contractors that serve them, funding their fancy houses, fancy cars, fancy boats, fancy trips, hanging around fancy women and fancy men, living off the people's money in order to do so, making the citizens their servants. Karl Marx, to enjoy the present reconciles us to the actual. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. When it comes to behavior, when you leave the Father's authority out so you can do what you want, you are no longer protected by the Father. You are now servant to the one who talked you into rejecting the Father's authority. In your lust for pleasure, that is, your self-interest, he owns you. Relationship built upon self-interest, upon lust, upon what can I get out of this situation and or these people or this person for myself, is the hallmark of Marxism, which requires the negation of the Father's authority in order, as in New World Order, for them to do wrong, disobey, sin, to lust after pleasure, that is, for them to enjoy the present without having a guilty conscience, with them no longer being judged, condemned, or cast out, that is, being rejected by others for their carnal thoughts and carnal actions. Since their relationship with others is built upon the same ideology, that they can do what they want when they want without being held accountable, they can kill the unborn, kill the elderly, kill the innocent, kill the righteous. That is, they can remove anything that gets in the way of pleasure with the other people's or the people's affirmation. As long as it's done in the name of the people, it is their right, their duty. It's a sad day when you have to explain Marxism in order to explain what is happening in America today. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Feigned is plastic in the Greek. It's just the Greek word for plastic. Malleable. If I can find out what you're coveting, what you're lusting after, what you're dialoguing with yourself about, and offer to help you attain it, I own you. Psychotherapy is built upon this ideology. Carl Rogers, a master psychotherapist, explained, Carl Rogers, quote, "If we have the power or authority to establish the necessary conditions, the predicted behaviors, our potential ability to influence and control the behavior of people, will follow. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. We know how to change the opinions of an individual in a selected direction without his ever becoming aware of the stimuli which changed his opinion. We know how to influence the behavior of individuals by setting up conditions which provide satisfaction for needs which they are unconscious, but which we have been able to determine. We can choose a sort of control under the controlled, which the control, though they are following a code much more scrupulously than was ever the case under the old system, nevertheless feel free. They are doing what they want to do, not what they're forced to do. By careful design, we control not the final behavior, but the inclination to behavior, the motives, the desires, the wishes. The curious thing is that in that case, the question of freedom never arises. Until I create an environment that is a safe place, zone, space, where you can share what you are lusting after, what you're coveting without fear of being judged, condemned, being cast out, you will remain subject to the Father's authority. You will remain subject to the fear of being judged, condemned, being cast out for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting after pleasure instead of doing the Father's will. It is what the master psychotherapist did with the woman in the Garden in Eden, replacing "thou shalt surely die" with "ye shall not surely die," creating a safe place so she could do what she wanted with Adam's affirmation, that is, with his participation. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." As I mentioned before, all teachers are certified and schools accredited today, including Christian, based upon their use of curriculum in the classroom, known as Bloom's taxonomies. Benjamin Bloom and all, quote, "Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents." Quote, "The students must feel free to say he disliked," I had having to do what the father told him to do, quote, "and not have to worry about being punished for his reaction." Quote, "A large part of what we call good teaching is a teacher's ability to attain effective objectives through challenging the student's fixed beliefs. The effective domain is, in retrospect, a virtual Pandora's box." Explaining Pandora's box. Pandora's box is a mythological story of a box full of evils, which once opened cannot be closed. Once parental authority, that is the father's authority, fear of being judged, condemned, being cast out for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting after pleasure instead of doing what you're told. One, the lid is removed. It is difficult, if not impossible, to put it back on again. Bloom continued, "The effective domain contains the forces that determine the nature of an individual's life and ultimately the life of an entire people." David Crathwell, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Effective Domain. The teacher does not have to tell the students to attack their parents' authority when they get home, if they're not doing that already. All they have to do is open up Pandora's box, that is, create a safe space, zone, place in the classroom where the students can share their lusts of the moment without fear of being judged, condemned, or being cast out, and the students will automatically attack their parents' authority when they get home. Psalms 36, verses 1 through 4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Psalms chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The unregenerated heart is loyal to the flesh, to the lusts of the moment, that the world is stimulating, and not to the Father who gets in the way. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Karl Marx called the wickedness of our heart, that is, his heart, critical criticism, where we dialogue with ourselves, our lust for pleasure and hatred towards restraint. Karl Marx, quote, not feeling a home in a sinful world, critical criticism must set up a sinful world in its own home. Critical criticism is a spiritualistic lord, pure spontaneity, actus purus, intolerant of any influence from without. Karl Marx, The Holy Family. What he is saying, since all mankind is immoral, what gives a person the right to judge, condemn, cast out another person, that is, fire him or not even hire him because of his immoral behavior. Therefore, the objective of life, according to Karl Marx, is to do what comes natural to a person, to create a world of pleasure, removing that which gets in the way, since he is already doing that in his mind, lusting after pleasure, hating restraint. Critical criticism or critical thinking or critical race theory, all being the same, is hatred towards the Father's authority being put into action or praxis. Karl Marx, quote, criticism is now simply a means. Indignation is its essential pathos. Denunciation its principal task. Criticism is criticism in hand-to-hand combat. Criticism precedes onto praxis. The critique of religion, that is, Karl Marx's hatred towards the Father's authority, ends with the categorical imperative to overthrow all conditions in which man is a debased, enslaved, neglected, contemptible being. And I add, that is, man being called a sinner, thus being judged, condemned, cast out for his carnal thoughts and carnal actions, that is, for his immoral behavior. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. It is therefore essential for the Marxist to find what a person is secretly talking to himself about and allow him to express it. The very act itself requires the negation of the Father's authority. Theodore Adorno. The individual may have secret thoughts, which he will under no circumstance reveal to anyone else if he can help it. To gain access is particularly important, for here may lie the individual's potential. Theodore Adorno, The Authoritarian Personality. First, you have to identify what it is he wants, that he is lusting after, that authority is standing in the way of. This is even true for the Christian. Karl Marx, The unspeculative Christian also recognizes sensuality as long as it does not assert itself at the expense of true reason, that is, of faith, of true love, that is, love of God, of true willpower, that is, of will in Christ, not for the sake of the sensuous love, not for the lust of the flesh, but because the Lord said, increase and multiply, unquote. Realizing Karl Marx wrote that. Through the use of generalization, using fruit trees as an example, Karl Marx explained how the believer can be seduced, that is, pulled into compromise, setting aside his faith in order to get along with others, in order to do or get what he wants, what the Father was preventing him from doing or having. Quote, it is not sensuality which is presented, but the attraction of what is forbidden. Karl Marx, the Holy Family. In other words, he just recognized his sensuous need is lust of the flesh. His sense perception is lust of the eyes. And his pride of life is sense experience. He simply removed the Father's authority from consideration in our communication with ourselves and with others. Rejecting the Heavenly Father's authority outright, Karl Marx claimed the Heavenly Father's authority was the result of the child honoring the earthly father's authority. Karl Marx, quote, the life which he has given to the object sets itself against him as an alien and hostile force. Karl Marx, MEGA I/3. Only by negating the earthly father's authority, negating the child having to do right and not wrong according to the Father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that is, having to do the Father's will or else, can the child become himself, lusting after pleasure, hating restraint. When the child justifies his self, his self-interest, his lust in a group, hatred towards restraint becomes critical, not just an in thought, but also in action. Kurt Lewin. The group to which an individual belongs is the ground for his perception, his feelings, and his actions. Kurt Lewin. Resolving Social Conflicts, Selected Papers on Group Dynamics. Kurt Lewin. Quote, it is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group. Kurt Lewin and Kenneth Bonet, Human Relations and Curriculum Change. Kurt Lewin. The child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior pattern which are set by the adult leader of the group. Kurt Lewin, Wilbur Bruce's book, Theology of Education. Kurt Lewin, quote, change in method of leadership is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of a group. Any real change of the culture of a group is therefore interwoven with a change of the power of consolation within the group. Barker, Dambo, and Lewin, Frustration or Regression, an Experiment with Young Children. In Child Behavior and Development. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourself before men. But God knows your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Jürgen Habermas. In the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself and the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. Jürgen Habermas, Knowledge and Human Interest, Chapter 3, The Idea of the Theory of Knowledge as Social Theory. Discussion is of the father, with the father having the final say, while dialogue is of the child, with the child justifying himself, his lust for pleasure and dissatisfaction, resentment, or hatred towards restraint, having the final say. Bohm and Pete. In an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. A dialogue, which is different, is essentially a conversation between equals. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view in suspension, along with a primary interest in the creation of common meaning. Bohm and Pete, science, order, and creativity. I like to put it this way. In discussion, God is God. In dialogue, you are God. Discussion, what the Father says, restrains dialogue, what I want. Doing my will, dialogue, where I have the final say, versus doing the Father's will, discussion, where the Father has the final say. Quote, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119, verse 11. In other words, discussion, what the Father says, have I hid in my heart, that I might not do what I want, dialogue with myself, thus not do the Father's will. When it comes to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior, when you make discussion the thesis, where the Father has the final say, the child's carnal nature automatically becomes the antithesis, that is, that which is restrained, preventing dialogue, the child having the final say. This prevents synthesis, that is, the consensus process, which depends upon dialogue, where right and wrong behavior is subject to the child's carnal nature, not subject to what the Father says. When you make dialogue, where the child has the final say, the thesis, you make the Father's authority, discussion, the antithesis, negating the Father's authority when it comes to building relationship with others, opening up the door for synthesis, where in the consensus process, the child's carnal nature becomes the standard from which to define and establish behavior, making all children one and the same, subject only to that of their carnal nature, subject to only that which is of the world. This is the basis of all therapy, based upon the language of I feel and I think, liberating the child from the Father's authority so he can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is, lust after pleasure and hate restraint, without being judged, condemned, or cast out, removing all who get in his way, including the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, the righteous, without having a guilty conscience, that is, with all the other children's affirmation. Therapy, that is, through the use of dialogue, I feel and I think, defining and establishing behavior, liberates the child from the Father's authority, liberates man from godly restraint. It is what happened in a garden in Eden, where the master therapist, removing the negative, that is, what the Father said, insisting upon the positive, that they could share how they felt and what they thought without being judged, condemned, or being cast out, helped the children justify their lust, liberating themselves from the Father's authority so they could do what they wanted without someone telling them what they could or could not do. Dialogue is loyal to that which is formed from, quote, the dust of the ground. Discussion to the Father's authority. The soul knows, in caps, from being told, making all subject to the Father. The flesh knows by sense experience, making all subject to stimulus response. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. When God created man, he did something which he did with nothing else in the creation. He made him a living soul. He then did something which he did with nothing else in the creation. He told him what was right and what was wrong behavior and the consequence for disobedience. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Only man can be told or tell others what is right and what's wrong behavior. Only man can read or write a book. All the rest of the creation is based upon stimulus response. For living organisms approach pleasure and avoid pain. Nothing in the creation can dialogue with man. Relationship is based upon dialogue, upon I feel and I think, upon our opinion, our perception, with us having the final say. Fellowship, on the other hand, is based upon discussion, upon what the Father says, with the Father having the final say. There was nothing in the creation for Adam to dialogue with. To do so with God would make him equal with God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Taking dialogue, where you have the final say, into the realm of discussion, where the Father has the final say, replacing what the Father says with how you feel and what you think, making you God over what is His. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6.